First Baptist Church of Redmond, March 20th, 2022, John chapter 3, The One Who Practices the Truth.
Please rise and join me in reading John 3, 17 through 18. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but so that the world may be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not judged. The one who does not believe in has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. You may be seated.
The sermon title today is The One Who Practices the Truth. I've got a phrase from the Bible, the one who practices the truth. We'll be looking at just a few verses, John 3, 17 to 21, as Jesus concludes what he's saying to Nicodemus. You might know Sandra McCracken. She's a Christian writer, and she's a singer and a songwriter too. Singer-songwriter Sandra McCracken writes in an issue of Christianity Today magazine the following words. I live in an old house. Along with the charms of age, this old house has some surprises. One of these is the angle of the top three stairs leading to the bedrooms. One stair is too short, while the next one is too deep. It was a creative renovation solution from a previous owner who finished the attic, but it takes some getting used to. As a side note, I understand the problem with different size stairs now. To continue, when I need to take the stairs at night, I'm careful to grasp both handrails. Before the bed last week, my husband was plotting how he might install some subtle lighting on some tricky stairs for safety. While I could have just learned to deal with our dark hallway and the jagged steps, I was moved by his consideration of such a small thing. In a similar way, God's light on our path is a demonstration of his loving consideration for us. The often memorized John 3:16 through 19, "For God so loved the world," goes on to say that, quote, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light. Before God broke in, we were in darkness, but he did not leave us in darkness. He will not let your foot slip, Psalm 121, verse 3 says. God's marvelous light invites, illuminates, and sends us out. We whom the Spirit lights give light to each other and to the world, starting with the smallest things, like a light my husband planned to make me on the stairs. I'd like to read the verse 17 verse. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. The Jews read those verses, Amos 5:18 through 20. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even the very dark and no brightness in it? As the Jews saw it, the Messiah, when he came, would condemn everybody else, the non-Jews, the world, for their sins, but he would spare the Jewish nation. The day of the Lord would mean punishment for the nations would have oppressed Israel, but not Israel. This misinterpretation of prophecy had been censured more severely by Amos, Mrs. Johnson's Bible study. Shirley mentioned it, Amos 5:18 through 20. But it never subsided. He judged everyone because everyone is lost in sin. It is against this Jewish exclusivism that the words of Jesus are directed. It is true that the verb judge was translated to condemn has a very wide meaning. Our word to discriminate, which is based on the same Greek word, points to the direction of the basic idea. It means to separate. Judge means to separate in this basic meaning. From this term, in turn, came the meaning of selecting one thing above another, hence judging or deciding. In the sinful world, to judge frequently means to condemn. The word employed in the original language can have that connotation. Verse 17 clearly indicates, one, that God's redemptive purpose is not confined to the Jews, but embraces the world, men from every tribe and nation. For God so loved the world that his primary object of Christ's first coming was not to condemn, but to save. The fact that here in verse chapter 3, verse 17, it actually has that meaning is shown by the antonym from judging to save. Salvation in the fullest sense of the term, deliverance from punishment not only but from sin itself, and the bestowal of everlasting life was what God had in store for the world into which he sent his Son. Not condemnation, but salvation. The one who believes in him is not judged. The one who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Jesus divides all those to whom the message of salvation is presented into two groups, each of which is represented by one individual. The one who abides in Christ by faith is not judged. No sentence of condemnation will ever be read against him. Even now, he is in the eyes of God without guilt. Amen? Amen. The one who rejects Christ by not believing in him as God's unique Son, as John 1:14 says. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." If you believe in God's unique Son, does not wait for the final judgment as if the verdict would be postponed until then. Already, by the very fact of his obstinate unbelief, he has been and therefore stands as condemned. And this is the judgment: that the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. We talked about this in Sunday school class. Judgment means, in this context, divine decision or verdict, the same way as in verse 3:17. People loved the darkness. We may paraphrase the thought of verse 19 as follows. And it's a long paraphrase I've prepared, but it gives every sense of meaning. Now, with respect to those who reject the unique Son of God. This is the divine verdict, that the light, that the Christ who is himself the light, the very embodiment of truth and love of God, of all his attributes, he, by means of the word of prophecy, and especially by means of his own incarnation, came into the realm of fallen mankind. But though some accepted him, by far the majority preferred the moral and spiritual darkness of sin. Sin is spiritual blindness, even hatred of people who believe. In fact, the people who are described as the majority actually loved the darkness. And the reason was not they were ignorant, never having heard the gospel, but rather this: their works were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, so that his deeds will not be exposed. To say that these people love the darkness rather than the light does not mean, however, that after all, they loved also the light to some extent. On the contrary, what is for whosoever is in the habit of practicing what is wrong hates the light and does not come to the light. Such a person is always avoiding the light. He will have nothing to do with the Christ, the source and embodiment of God's truth and love. That's why God, Jesus, always are used by unbelievers as a curse word. Why? They express it because they actually hate God. Even people who don't go to church and don't believe in God will use God's name in vain. Why? Because they hate God. Because he never reads the Bible, he refuses to attend church, in his heart he really hates the light. The reason for this is that he fears by this light his evil deeds might be exposed. People of this type resemble loathsome insects that hide themselves beneath logs and stones. They always prefer the darkness. They are terribly frightened whenever they are exposed to the light. But the one who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds will be revealed as having been performed in God. Having been performed in God. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But while unbelievers may thus be compared to the denizens of the domain of darkness, believers, on the other hand, resemble beautiful houseplants which turn their green parts toward the window and the light of the sun. But he is in the habit of doing what is true, 1 John 1:6, comes to the light. It has been indicated that there is a very close relationship between light and truth. It is not surprising that he who does the truth comes to the light. It may become evident that his deeds were done under God's influences. That's why it says, revealed has been having been performed in God. Why? Your good works are a praise. Your good works are done out of obedience. Your good works are done from God's influence for the Holy Spirit, Christ, and God Himself through you. He desires to show that His deeds, though by no means perfect, were nevertheless wrought with God's approval. We do different things. And it's by the influence of God that we do them. That's why we praise God whenever we do good works. We praise God whenever we obey Him. We praise God whenever we love somebody. Because in essence, Christians are the most, at their best, the most loving people you ever meet. Why? Because they're motivated by God's love. They were done in principle according to God's law. They retain this character forever. He comes to the light, Jesus said. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and these are the final words to Nicodemus. Thus, this word from Jesus ends most appropriately with His invitation. Nicodemus, too, should leave the realm of darkness because he was by this time still unsaved. He should leave the realm of darkness and unbelief and should embrace Christ, the true light. These words were all said to Nicodemus by Jesus. Nicodemus had the privilege and benefit of being witnessed to by Jesus Christ. And we read later in the Gospels that he must have appropriated the light for us. Jesus points out that the purpose of first coming, was not the condemnation, but the salvation of the world. He died for sin. Each person's present attitude to God's unique Son determines his destiny. If anyone rejects the Son, such a rejecter is condemned already. Most of those who hear the gospel belong to the latter category. Broad is the means of destruction. People love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. These words end with an invitation to Nicodemus to come to the light. The words of this closing passage are, "But the one who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds were revealed as having been performed in God, through God, by God." Sigh. He's a sad dog. Why? 3 years ago, Deborah Majur and her husband Stephen took Lola, that's the dog's name, Lola, on a trip to Elk Grove, a suburb of Chicago, to visit friends. Then they received a call from neighbors that Lola was running down the street after escaping from a chain-link fence and commenced would lead to a lengthy search for her. For 2 months, Deborah and her husband drove 3 hours to Elk Grove every weekend to look for Lola. But the trips became costly and the trip slowed down. It emotionally and physically was exhausting. Deborah said, quote, "It was just devastating. I hated leaving Elk Grove because it just felt I was abandoning her," unquote. Deborah held out hope for finding Lola. She joined every Elk Grove neighborhood groups she could find and would post every year on the anniversary she went missing, asking if anyone had found her. She even sought advice from a professional dog rescuer. I didn't know there were such things, professional dog rescuers. She hoped that if someone out there had taken Lola, they would care for her as much as she did. But Deborah's wish were granted, and a couple in Glendale Heights did look for Lola. They noticed her in the woods and set out food and water for her for a year. Finally, they gained her trust enough to put a leash on her and take her to the DuPage County Animal Services. Deborah received a text saying her pet Lola's microchip. Midnight has a microchip. Her pet Lola's microchip had been detected and to contact Animal Services in Illinois. Deborah said they are amazing people who did a very selfless act. In the yard in front of the animal shelter, Lola was timid at first and hid behind the vet. She gave Deborah a few sniffs and a big lick on her forehead before wagging her tail wildly as she buried into Deborah for a hug. When she noticed Deborah's husband, Lola bounded over to him and knocking him on the ground with excitement at first. Lola was in good health with no noticeable signs of injury or trauma. All these, though she lost...
Do it again! Deborah's missing dog was found because it was marked with a microchip. Believers can never be lost because we have marked with God's seal of ownership, the Holy Spirit. We have wandered away from God, but God never stops searching for us.